Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Well, listen, it's funny that we pray before we start because this series we're on, I thought that the last one that we did, God never said that. I thought that would be my favorite. But actually, I've really liked this series, Pray. We've only had 1 week. Last week, Marty did it. But I like this because I don't feel like I'm a good prayer. You get around to other people like Marty. We were visiting somebody in a hospital, and he was praying, and I'm like, man, I wish I could have recorded that because that was awesome. I could really feel God through his prayer. But a lot of times, I don't know if you're like me, but a lot of times we don't pray because we feel we don't know how. Or maybe we're not gifted enough, right? And that's what we're going to work out in this series called Pray. Now, one thing we're not talking about the Facebook prayers. You know, the memes that we have out there that's like, Dear Jesus, grant me the ability to punch someone in the face through the internet. That's not what we're looking at. We're not looking at prayers that says, Dear Jesus, grant me the patience, because if you grant me the strength, you're going to have to give me the bail money because I'm going to hurt this person. We're not asking those. We're not doing kids' prayers either, where we start out as a baby, you know, as an infant, either you pray with your kids or you pray when growing up. You was like, you know, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. Am I the only one that has prayed that prayer? What is wrong with you people? Anyways, that's what we used to pray. Good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. We're not talking about those prayers. You see, last week, Marty gave us prayers, and he prayed specific prayers that we could give, powerful prayers for ourselves, our spouse, and our children. And the three things that we did was the inner strength, the power, and love. Those were those prayers that we prayed last week. Today, we're going to be looking and discussing another prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for his buddy. And I'm going to start out by this. Let me ask this question. If there was a prayer that you could pray for yourself or other Christians, other Christ followers, that would help each of us be able to understand every good thing we have in Christ, would you pray that prayer? See, today we're going to look at a very small book in the back of the New Testament called Philemon. The Apostle Paul actually wrote this book. This book is actually real unique in the fact that it's a letter to Philemon himself that the Apostle Paul wrote to him. Okay, a little bit about Philemon. Let's give it a little background before we go into the message. Philemon was Paul's close friend. Actually, Paul led Philemon to Jesus Christ, to a personal relationship, accepting him as his Lord and Savior. Paul did that for him. Now, Philemon, back then, he was very successful and very wealthy. Owned multiple slaves. Yes, Christians back in the day, they owned slaves at that time. He owned multiple slaves, and the one slave that we're going to pay attention to today is Onesimus. You see, Onesimus was a unique slave in the fact that he decided one day, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going to take some money from Philemon, and I'm hightailing it out of here. And that's exactly what he did. He stole from his owner, Philemon, and he ran. And this dude ran like Forrest Gump. I mean, he ran from Colossus to Rome. If you're a runner out here, that's about 1,200 miles is what this guy did. But here's what's funny is that when he got to Rome, something changed in his life. He met a man named Paul, the Apostle Paul. And through meeting Paul, through talking with Paul, through doing life with Paul, through being mentored by Paul, just being around Paul, his life was completely changed, completely transformed from the inside out. You see, Onesimus, through Paul, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, upon receiving Jesus Christ, Onesimus, he said, listen, Paul, I've got to go back to my owner, and I got to make things right with him, because that's what I feel led to do. And Paul said, okay, that's fine. He said, I got to get back to my owner, Philemon, and tell him that I'm sorry and ask for his forgiveness. Now, when Paul heard that, Paul was like, hold up for a second. Did you say Philemon? Philemon's my boy. Listen, we used to do life together. I led Philemon to Jesus Christ just like I led you. And then Paul started thinking, well, hold up for a second. If you're owned by Philemon, You never heard of Jesus? You're trying to tell me that a guy I led to Christ, who has church groups at his house, never told you about Jesus? So Paul says this, listen, Onesimus, I've got your back. I'm going to write this letter to Philemon, and I'm going to tell him, listen, I want you to receive this guy as a brother in Christ and not as a slave, because that's exactly what he is a brother in Christ now. We'll pick up in the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and this is what it says. This is Paul talking. I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. You see, Paul starts out this letter to Philemon by saying, dude, I'm thankful for two things for you, for your faith in Jesus and for your love for Christians. That's what Paul's thankful for. But check out in this next verse what his prayer is for Philemon. And this is what we're going to study today. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, I pray that you, praying for Philemon, may be active in sharing your faith, so that, we see those two words from last week, so that you will have a full understanding of everything we have in Christ. Active in sharing your faith, that way you will understand what you have in Christ. You see, I believe Paul played the first Jedi mind trick ever. I'm talking about back in the day. I think he pulled a Jedi mind trick on Philemon, and this is why. In verses 4 and 5, he tells him he's thankful for his faith and his love for Christians, right? But in verse 6, what he's saying here, but he's actually not saying it, he's saying, but how in the world have you not shared your faith with others? How in the world has someone that worked for you not heard about Jesus? Someone that interacted with you on a daily basis not heard about Jesus? So Paul prays for him. I want you to be active in sharing your faith. You see, I think Philemon might be like some of us today, some of us here, to where we love Christians, we come to church on Sundays, we talk with the same people, we sit in the same rows every week, and we never step out to share our faith or to greet anyone else besides the same people that we sit with every day. You see, we talk about Jesus on Sunday mornings. We worship him through music. By the way, I love Reveal's worship. We worship him through music. We even feel that God is talking to us directly through the message. But then we don't say anything about Jesus until the next Sunday when we're with the same people. And that's what Paul's prayer for Philemon is that you will share your faith with the people that you do life with daily. For us today in 2015, I believe first and foremost, that's your family. That's your spouse, and that's your kids that you should be sharing, actively sharing your faith with. That's your coworkers or whoever you work for or with, that you should be actively sharing your faith with them, because let's face it, you're with them 40 to 50 hours a day or a week at least, right? That's those people that we've built close friendships with, that we've allowed to come into our inner circle. Those are the people that we should be actively sharing our faith with on a daily basis. Now, before we go any farther in this, I need to define what the word active means, because that's the key player in this whole verse. Webster's dictionary says this. It says that the word active means to engage or be ready to engage with a person. You see, what Paul knew is that if a follower of Christ was not actively sharing his faith, then that follower of Christ is probably on shaky grounds in his faith. Pastor Tim Rayburn says this, and I find it very true, and if you're taking notes, write this one down, that if you talk very little about Jesus, then probably you're walking very little with Jesus. Now, before you throw stones at me or before you shut me down, I know I said that if you ain't walking with Jesus, if you ain't talking about Jesus, you ain't walking with Jesus. Understand this. Jesus never told us that we should be silent or that we should hide our faith or that we should be timid or scared to share our faith with others. Absolutely not. It's actually the complete opposite. What was the great commission that he gave us? What was the greatest commandments that he gave us? Jesus told us that we should go and spread the gospel, making disciples of others, the good news about Jesus. The greatest commandment was to love God with everything that you are. And then the second was to love others. So Paul knew that by actively sharing your faith, there'd be something that you would understand about Christ. You would find out about Christ by actively sharing your faith. Even in the middle of all the trials and all the negative stuff that you got going on in your life, by doing that, you would begin to understand what you have. Now, let's be honest with one another. If we were to take a poll today of us here, in the last 7 to 10 days, how many of us actually actively shared our faith in Christ with someone? Chances are a lot of us are going to have our hands down. So then the question that we got to ask ourselves is why are we not sharing our faith with others? We know we should. The Bible told us to, the Great Commission, but we just haven't. I think there's three reasons why we don't. The first reason is this. I think we just get too busy with life. Listen, we pack everything that we can into the day so that way by the end of the week, we've jam-packed every day and before we know it, it's Sunday again. Listen, that's a flaw of mine. You can ask my wife. I pack everything that we possibly can into every day, and then before I know it, we're at Sunday again. Listen, I guarantee somebody here has something planned right after church to where you're hoping that Stephen isn't long-winded today, and you're hoping that you can make it out by the 11:30 time frame because we got an 11:45 lunch date. Somebody in here has that because we pack our days full. We just get too busy with life. Second reason I think is that we don't do it is because we're afraid that we're going to be that crazy Jesus person that no one wants to talk to, right? We're afraid that if we share our faith, they're going to look at us different, or they're going to label us as the Jesus freak of the people, and then we're going to have to eat by ourselves at lunch. That's what we're afraid of. But I think the third reason, I think this is probably the most likely reason why none of us share our faith, and that is because we are not ready to share our faith. We feel we're not ready to share our faith. When I become the perfect Christian and my life is perfect and everything, all my ducks are in a row and I got everything working, then I will share my faith in Christ with someone else. Or when I understand more about Jesus or more about the Bible, then I will understand and then I will share my faith with others. See, hear me, church, there was only one perfect Christian that walked this earth, and that was Jesus. Since then, there never has been, nor there ever will be, another perfect Christian. But check this out, and this is what you need to get out of this. Jesus isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for progression. And that's what Paul's saying, that as we continue to share our faith, or as we start to share faith actively with others, then we start to understand more about who Jesus is. It's just the way it goes. Listen, in some people's life, you might just be the person who plants a seed. And that's all you do for them when you share your faith, and that's it. You see no harvest. Other times, you might be the person who waters the seed. Somebody else planted it, and you shared your faith, and all you did was put water on it, but you still didn't see the harvest. But then there's those other times that you don't water seeds, you don't plant the seed, but you see the seed fully grow, and you see someone accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they commit their lives to Christ. But listen, if we're not actively sharing our faith, then the chain of events that Jesus can cause to happen is never set in motion. And it's because sometimes we feel we're not ready to share our faith. Last week, Marty taught us about 6 prayers, and hopefully we wrote those down. And today, I'm going to give you 2 more to look at and to pray. And by doing this, listen, we're not wanting to pray it just today and then be done with it. No, we're wanting to equip ourselves with an arsenal of prayers that we can pray on a daily basis. And that's what we're doing. And that's my hope at the end of this, is that we have those prayers for us. This week, our prayer, what we're going to focus on, is ourselves and other Christian friends that we have. That each one of us will continue, or we will start to share our faith in Christ. Now, I got to throw a disclaimer out there to everybody today, that at the end of this service, if you pray that prayer, I promise you that God will give you opportunities all this week to share your faith. Now, if you do pray this prayer, and when he gives you these opportunities, I want to give you 3 distinct ways that you can share your faith when you get the opportunity. The first is this. You can be loving, but straightforward. This is best received when you have an actual friendship with someone, when you're doing life with this person. You see, if you don't have that friendship built already, what happens is you look like the person that's talking down to someone. You look like the person that you're demanding them to give their life to Christ, right? I mean, imagine if you guys go into to work tomorrow and you guys go in and say, look, dude, you're a sinner. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to get right. Trust me, listen, the devil comes like a thief in the night. You don't know when you're going to die, but you need to get right with Jesus right now. Repent and be baptized right now. Now, if we do that, more than likely, you're going to be eaten by yourself because these people are not going to be your friend because this isn't designed for that way. And if you do that, don't email Marty saying that I told you to do it that way because I am not condoning that right now at all. This way is best received when you have a friendship built with someone, when they're actively involved in your life and you're in their life. And that way, when you do this, they are more likely to receive that advice from you. I have about 6 people in my life right now that can call me out at any time. If I fell back into the sin that I used to have, if I'm not being a godly dad or if I'm not being a godly husband, they will call me out. And listen, I'm going to do the same to them. Folks, hear me. At Reveal, one of the hills we die on is that we all come together. We don't just do church. We don't have church on Sundays. And that's it. It's not something that we do or a place that we meet. We are the church. Not Marty, but us. This came directly from the website, if you see up here. It's our 5th hill that we die on. And it says this. Being part of a local church was always about community. Though we live in a society that cheers the independent lifestyle, the self-made man, we were built for community, knowing and being known, loving and being loved, celebrating and being celebrated, serving and being served. While on Sunday service, it's a great place to start. It is not where we stay. You have to have those friendships that will hold you accountable to be who you're supposed to be in Christ. So the first way we can be and share our faith is be loving but straightforward with people. The second way we can share our faith, and I think this is the most effective, I can share my story. The Bible gives us multiple examples of individual stories and of what Jesus has done. And I think there's one that hits it right on the head in John chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, turn over there real quick. We're going to look at a couple of verses. But in this chapter right here, what happens is Jesus heals a blind man. When he heals this blind man, he healed him on the Sabbath. Well, the Pharisees caught wind of this and they said, whoa, I can't. No, he did not work on the Sabbath. You were supposed to rest. That's a sin. So they brought the man in who was healed, and they asked him, he said, who healed you? He said, Jesus healed me. He said, he told me to put mud on my eyes and to go wash it off, and then I could see, and I can see now. The Pharisee was like, no, I can't believe that. I can't believe Jesus has that power. So they called him an imposter. This guy's fake. It's not the guy that we think he is. Bring his mom and dad to us, and we'll ask them. So they brought the mom and dad in, and the Pharisee said, is this your son born blind? The mom and dad responded saying, listen, all I know is that is our son. He was born blind and he can see. Don't ask me though. He's a grown man. You ask him. So they pulled him back in to ask him a second time. And this is what we're going to look at. John chapter 9 verse 24 and 25. This is what happened. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. And this is what the Pharisees tell him. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And this is all the blind man could do. This is his reply. Hey, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I can see. This man's story yesterday was, I was blind, but today I can see. I don't know everything about Jesus, and I'm not real familiar with him at all, but I know I couldn't see. And I can see. It's that simple. Church, we all have a story that someone needs to hear. All I know is that I was an addict, and now I'm not. All I know is that I used to be bitter and unforgiving, but now I'm not. I was divorced, and all I know is that God is using me in the kingdom today when I thought I would never be used. I church hopped for years, and I blamed it on others, and I blamed it on the church, but all I know is that I found Jesus, And the church is different to me now. All I know is that I was once lost, but now I'm found. Listen, whatever your story is, you fill in the blank, but it is the most powerful weapon that you have in sharing your faith. Listen, some of us here have amazing stories that others of us here need to hear. That way we don't think we're freaking crazy for what we're going through right now. But we need to know somebody else did it. Not only did they do it, but they made it through. There's restoration and there's forgiveness and there's life in Jesus. Somebody needs to hear that. And it's your story that can do it. So this is my challenge to you. Marty's on vacation. I'm asking you to go to the Reveal website right here. At the bottom of the page, in the middle of the page, it says, it has that little icon right there, and it says, share your story. You click on that, and I want you to submit your stories. Listen to me. Don't put it off. Don't put it off, because life is going to get busy, or if you're like me, you're just going to forget, or whatever it is. But don't put it off. When you leave here, go home and do this. And there's two reasons why. The first is, Marty needs to hear your story. He's heard my story. He needs to hear your story. And the second reason is when God gives you that opportunity this week, you have already walked through it by yourself by writing it down and submitting it there. So that way when you get the opportunity, it's that much easier to share your story. You see, your story, not mine, not Marty's, can make major impacts in the kingdom of God. The last way we can share our faith, and I think this is the easiest way, it's a simple invite to church. It's that easy. You will be amazed at how many people never get invited to church. They just never get invited. I've made it a point in the last about 9 to 10 months, somewhere in there, that I am going to invite people. That's just what I'm going to do. Jesus changed my life. He's changed my life through this church, and I'm going to invite other people to this church. And that's what I do. Now, sometimes it doesn't go very well. I have a lot of people that tell me no all the time, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Other times I have people say yes. They come once or twice and just kind of filter back and don't come again, and that's okay. And then other times there's people that's kind of on the verge of making Reveal their church, but not making Reveal their church, giving their life to Christ, but kind of not. They're right there on that teetering edge, but I'm going to continue to ask them, and that's okay. I could be the water, and that's it. But then there's those other times that when somebody accepts the invitation, and then you see Jesus completely transform their life right before your eyes, and it's at that time that you're like, wow. It's all worth it. Check this video out real quick.
Life has a way of changing in a heartbeat. So my story starts with growing up in a Christian family. Going to several different churches and just learning about God at a young age. As I get into my teens, got away from the church and from God. I thought other things were more important in my life at that time. Met my wife at Taco Bell and immediately hit it off. Thought I was the luckiest man in the world to have somebody like her to fall in love with me. At the age of 21, we got married. Life was good. It was on the fast track. Three kids, beautiful kids. Could never have asked for better children. And career had really started to take off. We moved out to Arizona and finally had a company that saw me for the potential that I had. Started to move me up into the management, and it just started soaring from there. After our last son, my wife was able to stay home with our children and raise them. So the burden was set onto me to be the sole provider for the family. And I thought the best way to do this was really to just focus more on my career and climb that ladder. And the faster I climbed that ladder, the better off my family would be. because the money would be there and I'd be able to provide for them and give them everything that they needed. 2009, I was promoted to a hotel in Albuquerque and spent most of my nights at the hotel. Spent many hours away from the family. 2012, was promoted again to a hotel in Irvine, and thought, wow, I've really made something for myself, and now's the time for me to just start to figure out what else, what's the next step, where's the top of the ladder for me. There's just no stopping this. I gotta keep moving. Late 2013, life just took 180 and knocked me to my knees. The hotel I was working for, a management company, or owners decided the management company was no longer needed. They were going to manage it on their own. And the management company didn't have a place for me, didn't have somewhere I could go after 8 years. They just decided that it wasn't going to work. So I was trying to fill the void that I was missing in my life. Before it was about material things, cars, houses. And now that wasn't there and the money wasn't there for that. And although we were trying to fill those things, I remember a specific day that we were out looking for furniture for our house. And although knowing myself that I couldn't afford the furniture, still trying to fill that void, there's a certain point that I got to where it was just the breaking point, and it still hits me to this day, knowing that I was driving home and hit that point of life has to change. We can't continue life the way we were. And we had to pull over on the side of the road, kids in the car, wife in the car, and I just broke down. Sobbed like a little child. March of 2013, we decided to go ahead and move back to Arizona and just reset life. We got the kids heavily involved in sports. Girls playing softball and son was playing baseball. This is where we met Steven. Throughout the season, we just really got to know him and his family, and that was the life-changing moment for us. At the end of the softball season, Steven had invited us to church. Said, man, you guys got to come check it out. You guys have to come to our church and just see what it's about. And after that conversation, my wife and I looked at each other and said, this is it. This is the time. This is what we've been missing. And after the first actual service and listening to Marty speak, I just felt at home. I felt at peace and felt this overwhelming relaxation of you're where you need to be. I felt that the void that I had been trying to fill with material things, with a job, had finally been filled and had helped me and my family realize that we didn't need the material things to do life. I remember the message before two services and Marty speaking on what it means to be revealed, what it means to be the church. And once we go to two services, that we're going to need more volunteers. And I felt that now is the time for me to show that I can give back and I can help move in somebody. I was put in the toddler ministry, and to go into it every Sunday and see the kids' face light up, it's just really a joy for me. My daughter, just recently at middle school camp, gave herself to Christ. So just everything that the church and God has done for me is just an overwhelming gratitude. Life changes in a heartbeat, but it can also change for the good. And a simple invitation can be that change, whether it's a softball coach or somebody else. It was that invitation that changed my life and changed my family's life. My name is Tom Marstein, and this is my story.
Absolutely. 100%. Hey, Tom's story is about Jesus. And that's it. You see, all Jesus needed was someone to be available to simply ask him and his family to come to church. You see, when I asked him, we was in a group of people, and I was scared to death. People knew that I believed in Jesus. People knew I followed Jesus. They knew I went to church, but I was still scared to ask them. But the Holy Spirit was prompting me on the inside for some reason, saying, you've got to ask these guys. You can't just talk to the same Christians and make sure they're coming to church. You've got to expand out. You've got to ask other people. And I did. And listen, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with what I brought to the table or what I did. I just decided to share my faith and invite someone to church. And then once that happens, Jesus takes control then. But like I said, if we don't start the chain of events, it never gets started. There's three things that happen when you start to share your faith in God with other people. And it's this right here. You become a part of someone else's story. Forever now, me and Tom are linked together. Listen, me and Tom do life together. We studied Joyce Meyer's book together. We have questions about the Bible together. We hold each other accountable for who we are. We didn't invite Tom and his family to church and then chuck them the deuces. No, we do life with them. All right? The second thing that happens is your faith begins to grow. Tom received Jesus Christ, but the craziest thing was is that I reaped the benefits. My faith grew more and more when I see Tom changing. And then when I got to lead, be a part of a team that led his daughter to Christ, my faith is out the roof right now. That was the greatest experience that I've ever had, was leading someone to Christ for the first time. My faith began to grow by sharing Jesus in my life with others. The last thing is this is the whole point of all this, is that we are reminded of what we have in Christ. You see, when we begin to share our faith, we're reminded of the forgiveness we have when we make mistakes. Because face it, we're all going to make mistakes, but we're reminded of that forgiveness. We're reminded in the midst of a storm when we feel like we can't do anything and we're down and out, that supernatural peace that God will give us. And others look around and be like, why are you not freaking out right now with what's going on in your life? But it's that supernatural peace that God gives us. And then we're able to share our faith with others because of that. Listen, when you start to share your faith, the Holy Spirit becomes alive in you. The Holy Spirit that Jesus and God guaranteed that we would have deposited in us becomes alive and active. We don't have to live through Marty, and you don't have to live through whoever else that you thought you had to. You have the Holy Spirit alive and active in you. It will convict you. If you're doing something wrong, it's going to say, hey, dude, you're messing up. It will love you. It will show you the unconditional love that you need at the worst time in your life. And the last thing it'll do is it will equip you to share your story. That's what God promises us.